you ever felt like the amazing love of God? Well, yeah, sure, it's true, but it must be for someone else, not for me. Well, today, we're going to meet a man who, according to our view of God, should never have experienced his love. And each time I visit this man, his story completely blows my socks off. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to be taking another look at love from a different perspective. And please do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet. It's called The Power of Love. And I'd love to send you a copy to help you experience the transformational power of God's love in your life. Yesterday, and indeed over the past week, we've been exploring God's love. And if the truth be known, my hunch is we could go on doing that again next week and the week after and the week after that for an eternity. Because on this journey of exploration, the one thing I do know is that no matter how far we go or how long we go or how wide or how high or how deep we go, what we will discover is that we will never run into the boundaries or the limits of God's love. Because God's love has no boundaries. God's love knows no limits. Would you agree? The thing that always rocks me to the core is that when I'm in a place where I don't expect to find God's love, when I've failed him, when I'm alone in a dark place, the last thing I expect to find right there is the love of God. And yet time and time again, as I've wandered off in those dark places, the love of my Savior Jesus always finds me. He's there in that place, even though I may not expect him to be, because I haven't yet grasped in my understanding that he will always be there for me. I don't think I'll ever truly know the love of Christ, because it surpasses knowledge. And that right there is the most important thing we can ever know. So we can wax lyrical about the love of God. We can talk about it in theory. But what about God's love in our own experience? What about in your experience? I wonder whether you, like me, from time to time, will find yourself in a place where the last thing you expect to find is God's saving love. I wonder whether you, like me, have had times where you've just lost sight of the unfailing love of God. Well, if that's you too, then I have something really special for you today. I think we each have one particular story from the Bible that more than any other story resonates with us. For me, it comes in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. I'd not long been a Christian, probably no more than a year, and I was already at Bible college, don't ask me. God had a plan, and at that point I just grabbed hold and hung on, and so there I was studying at a Bible college. One of the compulsory subjects I had to take was evangelism. Oh, okay. Compulsory subject, need a tick in the box, could sit through a whole semester of lectures, but oh, hang on a minute. Look at the timetable. Look, next semester, I can take this subject as an intensive. And what that meant was I could attend for 2 weekends, get all the lectures on those weekends, do the assignments, and hey, bingo, I had the tick in the box. Pretty good plan. So that's what I did. Got to the first intensive. It started Friday morning and met the visiting lecturer, a long-haired, bearded, ex-heroin-addicted bikie who now had a couple of PhDs to his name, and as well as being a theologian, he presented himself as a cultural anthropologist. Pretty impressive. But understand, at this point in my life, I was just a young Christian. I'm a well-heeled, pretty successful businessman, and to tell you the truth, I looked at this guy and I was not impressed at all by what I saw. Nevertheless, the lectures began. And even though it was hot and humid, I was absolutely riveted. And as we came to the end of the day, it was as though, for the first time, someone had opened the lid to the box labelled God's love, and I was completely overwhelmed. And for that night, the lecturer set us an assignment to read one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke or John, from beginning to end. He happened to mention that Mark was the shortest of the four, so you guessed it, I chose Mark. That night, I started to read, and I wasn't long into it when I came across the story of a leper. It's only very short, but this one story, I have to tell you, was the turning point of my life. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 40. A leper came up to Jesus, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. See, right there in that moment, it hit me that I was that leper, not just in my own eyes, but in God's eyes. You see, the moment I met Jesus, the moment I accepted him, something started really bothering me. And frankly, from time to time since then, it's come back to bother me again. It's this: that I am simply not worthy of God. I'm not. The more I get to know him, I, like the Apostle Paul, the more aware I become of my sinfulness. I truly am not worthy. But back then it struck me for the very first time that my sin was a rancid stench in the nostrils of God, just like the pus-filled sores of that leper. This leper back then was an outcast. He couldn't approach anyone else who wasn't a leper unless he yelled out, "Unclean, unclean." He lived in a slum outside the protection of the city walls with the other lepers, and as much as I came to the realization that I wasn't worthy to approach God, this leper already knew that of himself. Everything in his culture and his society and his religion told him he was not worthy to approach Jesus. So what does he do? He approaches Jesus anyway. He throws himself at Jesus' feet. He kneels down before him and begs, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Do you see that? Nothing was going to stop this leper, not his religion, not the law, not social customs, not his own loss of dignity, nothing. He cast himself on the mercy of God that day. And Jesus, listen carefully to this, moved with compassion. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Jesus was moved by compassion. The love of God reached out and did the one thing that nobody else on this planet would have done in that moment. The love of God reached out and touched the leper. And that loving, compassionate reaching out and touching was the healing love, the healing power of God. And my friend, the only reason that this leper is before you today is that I too was so touched by the love of God. Do you notice what happens straight after this? Jesus tells the man, "Look, don't tell anyone else. Just go to the priests, according to the law, offer your sacrifice for your cleansing. Then they can declare you clean and all's good." But the guy, well, he's over the moon. He's not going to see any priest. He races into town to his former friends and family, people he's been separated from for who knows how long, and he shouts the good news from the rooftops. "I'm clean, I'm clean." A leper no more, healed, restored, back into relationship with his family and his community. Can you blame him? And do you notice that this healing touch came to the least of the least, the most marginalized and rejected of outcasts? It came to the leper. Feeling inadequate, feeling unworthy, that's the whole point. God's healing touch is for you and for me as much as it was for that leper. We all have things in us that aren't what they should be. Perhaps that's why the self-help and motivation industries are worth multiple billions of dollars the world over. But none of those things even begin to compare to the power of God's love in transforming our lives for the better. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called The Power of Love, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you experience the transformational power of God's love in your life. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.